Hey, everybody. Welcome to Seneca Lake Mysteries, the podcast exploring the unusual, strange, and unexplained on New York's largest Finger Lake. There's no other way to say this except that it's time for me to end the podcast. So this episode, unfortunately, won't have any more stories for you. Instead, I just want to say a few things, including a special recommendation, before I sign off. Now, as I mentioned a couple episodes ago, the podcast was never meant to continue indefinitely. When I started it, I really didn't have much of a plan. I just felt that it was time for me to share some of the stories I'd gathered over the last 10 years or so. I figured it would last as long as it was meant to last. And now it feels like it's time to call it a day for the podcast and redirect my energy into other aspects of the Seneca Lake Mysteries project. It's really not more complicated than that. For the first bunch of episodes, it came quite easily and naturally, but now it just doesn't give me that same feeling of effortlessness. I'm not feeling negatively about it at all. It's just time. So although there have only been 15 episodes, it's still long enough to make me feel a little bit sentimental. So I've really had a blast doing this, and far and away the most rewarding part is finding out just how many of you also enjoy these stories. I'm so grateful for all the support, the feedback, the emails, the messages, the comments, the stories you've shared with me, and the guests who've been willing to come on the podcast. So thank you all again from the bottom of my heart. And as I mentioned in a previous episode, I'm not going away, and I have other ideas to continue spotlighting the unusual, strange, and unexplained on Seneca Lake. And tops on that list is the book that I've been plugging away at for the past several years. And really, I'm more of a writer than a podcaster, to be honest, and it's the right time for me to refocus on finishing the book. Now, the format of the podcast has been to tell several different types of stories in every episode in order to kind of keep it engaging and interesting each time. And what's really been exciting to me in putting together the book is arranging these stories in a way so that they flow and they connect to make it feel like it's one big story. And that's really been my goal for the Seneca Lake Mysteries Project all along, to try and help other folks feel the same way that I've felt over the last decade or so when researching these stories. Now, taken individually, the stories are wild and weird and compelling enough, but when they're woven together and kind of seen in their entirety over the course of hundreds or even thousands of years, the mysteries of Seneca Lake make me feel like I live somewhere that is enchanted and magical and mystical, and that all of the stories connect and that we're all connected to it and we're all part of it. So writing the book for me is the only way to really effectively communicate that message and that meaning and that feeling. So the book will have many of the stories that I've covered on the podcast and many that I haven't. And I hope that when it's published, you'll check it out. And while I'm going to be focused on finishing up the book in the coming weeks and months, if I feel the need to put out some other content, whether it's a video or an article on the website, whatever, I'll be doing that too. So I invite you again to sign up for the mailing list at SenecaLakeMysteries.com and follow Seneca Lake Mysteries on social media to stay up to date on what I'm doing. And before I sign off, I'm going to offer up one recommendation for all of you. It's actually a piece of music, a song that when I first heard it was a huge source of inspiration for me and the Seneca Lake Mysteries Project, including this podcast. The song is by one of, to me, one of the most important and talented musicians to come out of the Seneca Lake area. Former Watkins Glen resident, Willie Watson. Now, if you haven't heard of Willie Watson, he's one of the founding members of the Grammy-winning, iconic Americana string band, Old Crow Medicine Show. Old Crow formed in the late 90s and first recorded in 1998. Their debut major label album, OCMS, came out in 2004, eventually reached gold status, and it included the hit song Wagon Wheel, which is a truly iconic tune that reached platinum status in 2013. Wagon Wheel's been covered several times by other artists, most notably Darius Rucker in 2013. It's one of those songs that's instantly recognizable to millions upon millions of people, whether they're country or Americana fans or not. So Willie Watson wrote and performed on the first four Old Crow Medicine Show albums between 2004 and 2012 before he left the band to pursue a solo career. And since that time, he's released two critically acclaimed folk albums. He won a Grammy, won an Academy Award, appeared in the Coen Brothers film The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, performed at the Newport Folk Festival, and then in 2024, he released his first album of all original songs entitled Willie Watson. Now, that's just a really brief summary of the remarkable career that this kid from Watkins Glen has carved out for himself over the past couple decades, so I encourage you to dig into his catalog yourself, if so inclined. Willie Watson has a really unique and moving singing voice, something that fans and other artists always rave about. He's insanely talented, and I hope the people of Watkins Glen really feel a lot of pride for their hometown artist. So anyway, there's a song on his 2024 release, the final track on the album, that many fans and followers talk about with almost a reverence. It's an old-time style folk song, mostly spoken word, and it's called Reap 'em in the Valley. Look it up and give it a listen, and I'll put a YouTube link in the description, a link to the song so you can check it out. It is really one of the most touching and meaningful songs I've heard. I don't want to spoil it because if I describe the song, it's not going to do it any justice. So I'll just say that I found it stunning and moving and beautiful. Seneca Lake and the area around the lake figure prominently in the song, in which Willie tells a story from his youth, a moment that he describes as being a liminal and formative moment in his life and career. And if you read the comments and reviews from fans and others about the song, or listen to recent interviews with Willie, you'll find out that time and again, people are deeply and profoundly touched by this song, often being brought to tears. And I'm one of those people. For me, when I first heard the song last year, it was at a time when I was kind of feeling stuck when it came to writing the book and formulating whatever Seneca Lake Mysteries was going to become. And when I heard Reap 'em in the Valley, it made me feel like someone had, in a way, put words and music to whatever it was that I found so special and so magical about the Seneca Lake area. So I'm going to recommend that you check out this song. I'm not saying that it will move you the same way it moved me or the same way it moved other people, naturally, because it's art, after all. But at the very least, you'll get to hear a little bit of music from a wildly talented guy from Watkins Glen. And at best, you might find yourself loving and appreciating Seneca Lake and the people in the communities around its shores in a new and deeper way. So again, thank you all for listening. You have my love and appreciation for everything. And if you're feeling it, please stay tuned and join me for the next step in the journey to discover and celebrate the unusual, strange, and unexplained on New York's largest Finger Lake.